Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. This is our 24th study in the book of Genesis. We are going verse by verse, and today we come to chapter 25, verse 29. Genesis 25, verse 29. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are studying today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. Have you ever been so hungry that you were shaky and lightheaded? I believe that's how Esau was feeling right here. 30. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Edom means red. So he got that name. But anyway, Esau lived for his appetites, which means that right now, Jacob can probably get anything he wants from his brother. That's because Esau is starved and Jacob has food. 31. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." The birthright included a double portion of the father's inheritance. It also included the responsibility of caring for the household after the father was dead, and not just the physical needs, but the spiritual needs as well. Verse 32. And Esau said, "Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Esau did not want the spiritual responsibilities of the birthright. He could not care less. He was happy to give them up. And he must have thought, well, I may die right here and never even live to see the double portion of the inheritance. So Esau decided to opt for the sure thing. He took the stew. 33. Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And I am sure that Jacob's mother told him that it was God's will for him to have the birthright. Because if you remember last time, God made that clear to his mother, that the younger would rule over the older. But Jacob did not have to take advantage of his brother's hunger to get it. The godly thing would have been to give his brother the food for free and just trust God to give him the birthright in his time. But that is some of the spiritual rust that God has to scrape off of Jacob. 34. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Despising the birthright with all of its spiritual responsibilities was not the problem. It was just a side effect of the problem. The real problem was Esau's heart. He cared nothing about God. Chapter 26. Verse 1, there was a famine in the land, besides the famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Abraham went down to Egypt during the famine of his day, if you recall from a few studies ago. And he got in trouble too. He lied and got kicked out of the country. Well, Isaac is dealing with a famine also, and he appears to be headed for Egypt, just like his father went to Egypt. Verse 2. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you." There was food in Egypt, and Isaac needs food. Egypt looked like the perfect place to go, but God said, "Don't go there." It is our job to please God, even when it seems like disobedience would make things easier. 3. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. God says, if you obey me, if you don't take the bait and run to Egypt for help, then I will be with you and I will take care of you. Verse 4. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And this is the same promise God gave Abraham. And as far as we know, this is the first time God ever spoke to Isaac. Now, I'm sure his father told him the word of God that he received, but this was a one-on-one thing between God and Isaac. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so Isaac is living off the faith and obedience of his father Abraham. Verse 6, so Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. For he was afraid to say, she is my wife, because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold. Isaac commits the same sin his father committed. And notice, he lied because he was afraid of the men in Gerar. The Bible says that the fear of man is a trap. It is a spiritual trap. We need to fear God more than what we fear men. Verse 8, now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah his wife. Isaac got away with this deception for a long time, but one day he got a little careless, and he got caught. Verse 9, then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously she is your wife. So how could you say, she is my sister? And I suppose Isaac could have given many answers to that question. How could I do that? Well, I'm stupid would be a good answer. I'm an idiot. I don't care about God. Those would have all been good answers. But notice his answer. Last part of verse 9. Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. Well, what a wonderful thing for a man to say about his wife. Listen, king, someone had to be in harm's way, so I figured her, better her than me. Boy, that's a bad answer. 10. And Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us. Notice the us. The Bible teaches that there is a personal responsibility for sin. The soul that sins will die. But the Bible also teaches that there is a corporate responsibility for sin. We are our brother's keeper. If a nation condones sin in its citizen, then that nation as a whole will share in the guilt of that sin in some respects. 11. So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Abimelech had enough spiritual sense to know that if his nation wanted to keep going, then it better base its laws on the fear of God and the word of God. 12. Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And this is the first mention of God's chosen family farming. And God blessed it also. 13. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. The Philistines were guilty of the sin of envy. When you do not have what someone else has and it bugs you, that is the sin of envy. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet. Same thing. 15. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled them with earth. Their envy led to action, didn't it? Evil action. They were mean to Isaac. They did not like him, so they destroyed his wells. He had more than they did, so they destroyed some of what he had. 16. And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Abimelech was intimidated by Isaac because Isaac was so powerful. 17. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Isaac was a powerful man. Really, he was powerful enough to say, "Don't tell me to leave. You leave." But instead, Isaac departed. Isaac was a meek fella. He had power, but he did not use it to push anyone around or to get his own way. Isaac was like Christ in that way. Verse 18. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Well, Isaac leaves. He finds some wells that his dad had dug earlier, and the Philistines had filled them in with dirt. They did that to deter new people from settling in those areas. But Isaac reopens those wells, and by doing that, he lays claim to them. They are his wells, and he knows it. So with that in mind, look at verse 19. Also, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Ezek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth. You know, Isaac is often the forgotten one. He usually does not get the attention that Abraham his father gets, or Jacob his son gets. But Isaac is showing a lot of patience and meekness and forbearance here. He keeps digging wells and others keep stealing them. So he digs another one and they steal that one also. So what does he do? He moves on and he digs another one. Verse 22, last part of it. So he called its name Rehoboth because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land." Verse 23, then he went up from there to Beersheba. He keeps getting further and further away from the Philistines. They keep pushing him away, and he keeps going. And Isaac does not put up a fuss. He complies. 24. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." In Matthew chapter 22, verse 32, Jesus quoted these words. And Jesus said, God, after quoting these words, he said, "God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." And so when God said, "Isaac, I am the God of your father Abraham," he was saying, "Isaac, your father is alive, and he is with me." Now, Isaac has not seen his father for a long time, but his father is doing just fine, better than ever. He is alive and well, and he is with God. 25. So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. And when the Holy Spirit reminds you that your loved ones who passed away are alive and well, and it's only a matter of time until you see them again, that inspires worship. And that's what you see here. That short message from God about his father Abraham, about Isaac's father Abraham being fine, inspired Isaac to build an altar and worship God. And then, of course, as usual, seems to be his hobby in this chapter, he dug a well. And we're going to pick up our study next time in verse 26. Until then, so long, everyone.